If you'll turn with me in your Bibles this morning, we're going to get started, the Lord willing, in Mark chapter number 9. I never know whether we'll get finished or not, but I do want to get started, and we may very well get finished. I just want to mind the Lord. In Mark chapter number 9, this is a familiar story in the Bible. I have preached from it before, and if I live very long, I'll preach from it again. It is a needed text in this day and hour that we live in. If you'll look with me at verse number 14, stand with me, please, in reverence to the Word of God, and we'll read it together. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. This is Mark 9:14. And the scribes questioned with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, they saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Help us." You know what we need in America? We need God to have compassion on us. Brother Griswold, I remember where Habakkuk prayed, knowing that they deserved the judgment of God. And he said, "Lord, in wrath, remember mercy." We need God to have mercy on us and help us. But the Bible said, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe." Look at this text. He said, "Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch as many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, I believe I'd be right ashamed too, don't you? But you know, it could be this morning if God revealed our faith life and God revealed our prayer life, we might be standing here right ashamed this morning. Watch what the Bible said here. They asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." You can be seated. Please pray with me, and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, I thank you this morning for the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Father, this morning, I pray that you'd touch our voice and touch our body. God, give us strength. And Lord, more than anything, touch our ears that we might hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church today. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to meet with us. Peradventure, Lord, there's someone among us that does not know you. In the free pardon of sin, may this be the day that their heart is stirred towards eternity towards the things of God, and God, that they would turn to Thee while they can, while they may. Because, Lord, when You come again, it's going to be too late for the multitudes that have heard this precious gospel. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank You for what You're going to do. Amen and amen. I want to preach a message this morning, at least begin a message entitled Finding Help for Our Unbelief. Finding Help for Our Unbelief. I believe that if we would be honest, every one of us has a measure of doubt or a measure of unbelief in us. Not necessarily concerning salvation, but let me just word it to you like this. Let me just see. I'm just going to try to be led of the Lord. But if we really believed that there's a God in heaven that answers prayer, would we not pray more? If we really believed that the person that we know, and in our mind the devil has convinced us that individual is hopeless, there's no hope. If we really believed God, would we not believe there's hope? And that God can change that individual's life? I've been thinking along the lines like this. I was thinking of a text over in the book of Ecclesiastes when it said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Now wait a minute. The Bible said God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If we really believed that, wouldn't that really have a huge impact on what we listen to and what we watch and what we say and where we go? Somebody help me this morning. I'm telling you this morning that I believe that what I'm preaching this day could just be a kickoff for a year that God could just explode His blessings in our midst. But God cannot help a people that will not believe Him. Amen. The Bible said we can't even get started without faith. It's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Most of the time, I believe, when we say the word faith, what we're thinking of is the salvation experience. That's not the end of faith, beloved. That's just the beginning of faith. You remember the text over in 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to get to our text today. But in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 13, the Bible said, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm glad I can stand here and tell you there was a time and a place when this sinner came to the Savior and believed on the name of the Son of God. And God took away my sin and took away my guilt. And beloved, listen, sealed my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm heaven bound this morning with the hammer down. Yes, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Watch this now. And that you may believe. Wait a minute. I wrote this to you who have believed, and that you may believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, beloved, I believe that we're missing a truth in the Christian life today, that we get saved by grace through faith. Our journey starts in faith. But according to the precious word of God, we're to walk in faith. Our journey is to continue in faith until one day we cross over and no longer have to walk by faith, Brother Thurman, but we see Him face to face and get to fall at His feet and worship Him. But until then, it's a faith life. And I'll say this. I had a man this last week. He looked at me with tears and said, Brother Rick, last couple weeks, he said, my faith has been weak. You say, preacher, I would never say that. I'll tell you what, we'll never get any help until we start getting honest. If we could really take an accurate survey this morning, every one of us have been through some low ebbs in our life where our faith got weak. I believe this morning that you think about this thing called faith. This man cried out, "Lord, I believe." In other words, he had that first part right when he said, "Lord." In other words, he knew. He knew just exactly who Jesus was. He had that right. And I believe we'll have revival in America when we get past just having that right. And get to that part where he said, "I believe. Lord, I believe you are who you said you are. I know that, Lord. But Lord, I got a situation here, and I'm having problems with my situation. I'm having problems believing, God, that you can help my boy." That's where my problem is. But you know, I praise God for men like this in the Bible. Men that will come clean with God. Men that will be honest with God. He said to the Lord, "Lord, I believe." He said, "But I need some help here." Let me say this to you this morning. Last week I saw it on the news. Police officer had a body camera on. And I'm saying this for several reasons. If there's ever been a time we need to pray for law enforcement in our land. I mean, it come to Blountville yesterday. I don't know how the dear fellow is, but I know this. I laid in the bed in the wee hours of the morning and prayed for that man that was shot and is in critical condition over here. That man has a family. That man got up and went to work not knowing, beloved, that his life would forever be changed. Last week I was watching the news, and body camera on the police officer walked up and the window rolled down, and then a moment of time, I mean a split second, that guy had planned it. He had done it before. Bam! He shot that police officer. And then you heard that police officer's weapon being emptied. Bam, 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 bam. Emptied. You say, "Preacher, are you going to get political?" No, I'm just going to tell you the facts. He'd already been deported twice. I'm just going to tell you the facts. That man didn't get up that morning planning on going to hell that day, but that's exactly what he did. There's not an unbeliever in the world that gets up one morning and says, "You know, I think I'll just go to hell today." Hell is full of good intentions. Hell is full of people that said, "Someday I'm going to get right with God. Someday I'm going to do what's right." But let me ask you this. I'm getting into the first part of the message here, talking about being desperate. Talking about being desperate for our fellow man. This man, when he said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief," he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about his son. Let me just say this to you, beloved. You can check your spirituality right here. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me very carefully right here. Beloved, if you can't get just as concerned about somebody else's son as you are about your own son, you're not where you need to be with God. I thought about this morning as God was preparing my heart to preach the days when a mother would stand up in a congregation in tears and say, oh, y'all help me pray. My boy's out there in the world and he's lost and he needs God. Y'all help me pray. And she couldn't even get it spit out and the altar would be full because people were concerned about that boy that was lost. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. Beloved, listen. The Bible said, "Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons." What that means is, if I'm concerned about my children and my grandchildren, I surely ought to be concerned about your children and your grandchildren. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I didn't even realize what God was doing. He went back this morning and began to woo in my heart and I looked up some quotes concerning prayer. I didn't even realize why God was doing it and how God was doing the message. But I need to just tell you this morning, as I read through, I'm thinking about the unbelief. When you get down to the end, when Jesus said, this kind of faith comes forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We're living in a generation today, if you were to ask the average individual that's under 25 years old, what does it mean to fast and pray? They would have no idea. You say, preacher, I wish we could see people walking the aisle the way we used to. We can, but not without praying, and not without fasting, and not without believing God, and not without a burden. John R. Rice said, all of our failures are prayer failures. Would you think about that just for a minute? How many of you have ever had a time in your life, listen to me, I'm talking about your Christian life, where sin got the upper hand in your life? Would you raise your hand? I said sin. Raise your hand. Sin got the upper hand. You know what was going on in that time when sin had the upper hand? We were not believing God. That's why this morning a man that's been saved by the grace of God and born again turns back to the bottle. Because he's not believing God. You say, preacher, where'd that come from? The Bible said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever's deceived thereby is not wise. I didn't say the man's not saved. That's between him and God. I'm saying the man is not believing God. When people go out here and shack up and won't get married, I'm telling you they're not believing God. The Bible said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And if we believe that, we'll behave right. There's all kinds of things in the world to take us away from God. How I wish, how I pray that someday we can be as sensitive to God, as sensitive about sin as he is about sin. All of our failures are prayer failures. Robert Murray McShane said this. He said, if I could hear Jesus praying for me in the next room, he said, I would not fear 1,000 enemies. Yet the distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. I stand before you this morning telling you that I believe I am standing here by the grace of God because people have prayed for me. But more than that, because there's a Savior seated at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for us. Clarence Sexton said, if ever there was a time to pray, it's when you don't feel like praying. Can I get an amen? He said, you can go anywhere in the world from your home in prayer. Folks, I don't know if we're getting it. It's not my responsibility to get it. It's my responsibility to deliver it. But what I'm preaching this morning can change our homes and change our church and change our community. And beloved, listen, if a community's changed, maybe from community to community and church to church and school to school, maybe a country can be changed for the glory of God. But the fact is, there's a whole lot of us, listen to me carefully right here, have given up hope. What will be, will be. I want to tell you something right now. God's raising up a generation of young people. They haven't all gone to the dogs. There's some young people that's figured out that's a baby in that little mommy's womb. It's not a blob, it's a baby. Help me this morning. Prayer is not getting man's will done on earth. It's getting God's will done in heaven. Matthew Henry said, where we have a tent, God must have an altar. I don't know about you this morning, but I've cried out to God through the night, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. John Bunyan said this. He said, you cannot do more than pray after you've prayed. No, he said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Then D.L. Moody said this. He said, those who have left the deepest impression on this sin-cursed earth have been men and women of prayer. Colt, I'll give you this. You'll be in those prisons next week down in Alabama. Maybe God will let you use it one time. You walk up and you shake hands with that man. Ask that man, just warm up a little bit, tell him who you are, where you're from. If he was to tell them that there's a church back in Tennessee praying for him, would that be true? Is anybody praying for the meeting going on in Alabama this week? Be in 10 different prisons all at the same time. Men scattered out all over the state with the same glorious gospel. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The coach, you shake hands with that man. Say to that man, sir, do you have anybody in your life that you would consider to be a godly individual? Somebody that you believe loves God with all of their heart, loves the Bible, loves the church. I tell you what, Brother Colt, I don't know that I've ever had a man that didn't say, yeah, their mind begins to work. And here's where we're missing it. Very few times did somebody say, it's my mama or it's my daddy. We've skipped a generation, Brother Lance. But those men, many times tears would run down their eyes. They'd say, it's my papa, or it's my mamma, or it's my aunt, or it's my uncle. But listen to me. Listen to me carefully right here. I would say to that individual, you reckon they ever prayed for you? I've seen that head hang down. Oh, yeah. They tried to tell me. They prayed for me. They tried to get me some help. I wouldn't have it. I'd tell them, Brother Cole, look at me. They look up at me. I say, you know what you're looking at? They say, what's that? I said, an answer to prayer. They prayed, God, send somebody to my boy. Send somebody to my girl. Send somebody to my brother. Send somebody to my sister. Send somebody to my grandson and tell them about Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I don't know where we're going to get this morning. Let me just say this to you. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to be honest till Jesus comes. If we believe the Sunday night service is important, we'd come back on Sunday night. If we believe God could help us on Sunday night in our life, just like he can on Sunday morning, we'd come back on Sunday night. If we believe studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, if we believe, we really believe that, we'd find our place in Sunday school. We'd open our Bible this week and we'd read it, amen? If we really believe that there's a God in heaven that answers prayer, we'd find ourselves on our knees. You say, preacher, I can't get on my knees. I know a lot of people can't get on their knees. Some of the best praying I do is laying in the bed. Sometimes just get it the back to ease off enough. Say amen. Get a hold of God. I'll just say this morning. The Bible said he did not many marvelous works there because of their unbelief. I'm going to ask you a question right now. I don't want a show of hands. But if you want God, listen to me carefully. I don't want a show of hands. It can go a little bit deeper than that. If you want God to do some mighty marvelous works in our church, and you want God to do some mighty marvelous works in our young people, and you want God to do some mighty marvelous works in your family, and you want God to do some mighty marvelous works in our community, I want you to stand right now. If you want God to do some mighty marvelous works in this place, I want you to stand. There's not but one thing that's going to keep God from doing what he wants to do in our midst, and that's a bunch of people that refuse to believe him. If we'll believe him. We'll believe him. Stay right where you're at for just a minute. Brother Rose, when I was a teenager, my hair was down about right here. I think I wore a size 34 breeches. I ain't never been as skinny as Rick Hall. Don't want to be. I liked my rock music. And I liked my alcohol. But Bobby, we had a papa. We called him Grandpa. It had a place down in the basement in a dirt floor. You had to hunker down to get down in there. You see, after I got saved, he took me down there. And he said, son, right here's where I prayed for you. He, Brother Steve, absolutely despised long hair on a man. He despised it, but he never mentioned it to me. He knew if anything was done in my life, God was going to have to do it. In fact, if we could just get there this morning, if anything gets done of eternal value, God's going to have to do it. But he does it through a people that will believe God. Get a hold of God. Pray. Believe God to make the difference. How many of you all have ever seen anybody have a episode of epilepsy? How many's ever seen that? It's scary, isn't it? As far as I can remember, I've only seen it once, and it was in high school. I remember the individuals. Eyes rolled way back in their head. I don't know that that's what this is here in the Bible, but it's the closest thing I've ever seen in this life to what was going on, and the foam coming out of the mouth, and you want to help, and people that know anything about it say, stay back, you're going to hurt them. In other words, if you try to help them, you're going to hurt them, because really there's nothing we can do to help them when that's going on. People that know what they're doing can make sure their airway stays clear. It's a very delicate situation. Somebody that don't know what they're doing can't put their hands on it. They'll just make it worse. I wanted to say this. We need to get to the place where we know and believe with all of our heart that God knows what he's doing. And then we can't fix it. But hallelujah, we know the one who can. We know the one. Who can? Brother Ralph, get us a song. Lord, I believe. Help. Help thou mine unbelief. God can help us. What's that situation this morning that's in your heart and in your mind? When you heard the news yesterday that a police officer had been shot in the head, did you begin to pray? Are you, Our president's going to be in Vietnam talking to the leader of North Korea this week. Has anybody prayed? Oh, you say, preacher, I don't even know if he knows God. I don't either, but I know God. Help me! God can change a life. He can change a family. But I'm being honest with you. We're not going to have revival until we believe God. Until we start turning the television off. Help me. Amen. Spending some time with God. When's the last time a brother or sister in Christ, your phone rang, and on the other end there was somebody in tears, somebody that was broken, and said, brother, would you help me pray? Would you help me pray? The Bible talks about praying in private and praying in the closet, but the Bible also said if any two of you would agree, there's a time to come together in prayer. We didn't get to the text this morning, but I believe God got to our hearts. And that's what we need. God's spoken to your heart. If you're here today and you're lost, you're here today and you're dabbling in sin. It won't be long, honey. You won't be dabbling. You'll be diving in sin. It's because we don't believe God. Whole family sat right here the other night. As far as I know, two of them out of that whole group of people are in church faithfully and regularly, and the rest of them are not. Is anybody going to believe God? Is anybody going to pray? I'm just telling you this morning, all of our failures are prayer failures. I will say something. I made mention of this in the business meeting. A pastor, a preacher stood in this pulpit and said the day may come before Jesus comes, there may be 50 of us. And that may be true. But I hope and pray to God if it's just 50 of us, it ain't because we're not believing God. I hope and pray to God, Brother Grizzle, if we're just spending $50 on missionaries, that it ain't because we're not believing God. My job is not to produce an outcome. My job is to preach the gospel. And by the grace of God, that's what I want to do. If you're here today and you're lost, you can be saved, but not without believing God. If you're here today and you're tangled up in sin, in a web of sin, you can get free, but not without believing God. You're going to have to believe God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. God, I ask you in Jesus' name this morning, help our unbelief. Lord, there's a bunch of people here that love you, that have been to Calvary, that know that their life has never been the same since Jesus came into their heart and life. But Lord, we're weak. Lord, we don't have the spiritual power we once had. We don't have the burden we once had. The truth is, God, we don't believe you like we once did. I pray, God, like the disciples, you'd increase our faith. I pray, Lord, like the disciples, that you'd teach us to pray. I pray, God, for that one that's lost, that they'd come get saved. I pray, Lord, for that one, Lord, that needs help this morning, that they'd come and get the help they need. While we sing...